Position number 22345, Rule 7.
Major Perkin, Reel 7. I think you were saying that you eventually came to and you were in a hospital.
Just briefly, in some first aid station, travel the wrong way there, and they were on the stretcher.
Yes.
And there'd be a hole in the middle. Mm. I was sitting in that hole, lovely and comfortable. It wasn't meant to be there. Anyway, I passed out of it. I woke up again in Middlesbrough Hospital on Suez Canal. Well, it got better.
What was the treatment for malaria then? How did they look after you?
Mepocrine. Lots of it. Mm. I've got a lovely pill today. Mm-hmm. Blanket bath of Pepperin.
Hadn't you been taking precautionary measures before you got it?
In fact, when we came back to Cyprus, we stayed in a place behind Alexander and Cairo.
Yes.
Just by the, it's called Damahur, just by the street water canal.
Yeah.
Any of the street. Mm. And there's a huge mosquito there.
Yes.
And the law was also that if anyone catches malaria, they were committed as an offence.
Yes.
Because we were meant to be on methadone every day. I think I must have done that. I didn't run into any trouble, but I must have got it there. Mm.
But you were taking mepocrine. Didn't you have a mepocrine parade every morning to take the drugs?
The officers did what they wanted to do.
Oh, I see.
Later on, before we enter Italy, we all had to have typhus.
Yes.
And I refused, by the way. I didn't do it. Mm. It's very lucky. I'd always been a bit anti-indifferent. Saying that when I was in Africa, I didn't have anti-testify. I'd been bitten often by them. Nothing to be proud of. There were treated with mepocrine, a lot of it. If I recovered, it's about 10 pills a day. We all went better. But it maybe got better. And the bed next to me was a Rhodesian, Southern Rhodesian, who had been a magistrate. And he signed his job there and joined the army, and in the artillery units of the South Korean force. When we left one night, we said, we knew new anime was coming up. Everybody, and we decided to run away from the hospital.
Which you were fed up with it?
Yes, they wanted to get back to our business. And so we crept up on there, hitchhiked to Cairo, got a taxi from there, and got out to the middle of camp, where the reinforcement control. There was as we go. From there, I'd get it back by using somehow. When I got there, next morning, reported as a deserter. Not as a deserter that Edith Turnbull. And there was another one. They called it absent without leave. Price raises. But fortunately, also, no one took that very seriously, but at that time, in the camp, there was a new CEO in his command. And a new CEO came up, Peter Hughes. And he sent the car to collect him. And so I said, oh, I'll come back to Israel. He said, right. I said, can I bring you some of the Reza stuff? Because his bath is just south of right of it, where we are. He said, oh, okay. So we went back to the desert together. We got the battalion. The reason obviously we take the CL's car on to where it was. And off he went. About a week later, I decided to go and see him. We was friends in hospital. And when I got there, I also, he was killed that very same day he got back.
Very bad luck.
The Germans decided to count the battery fire, and several ran just by him and just killed. And
do you know why your CO had been relieved and why you'd been sent up a new one?
Well, he wasn't a competent man. I don't suppose you could ask Bill Sears. He was there, but he won't tell you. One day in Ireland, during the war, I was responsible for having a lot of people kicked out. I had no bones to complain about people who weren't doing their job properly. And I certainly spoke to, I saw probably Bill Sears in brigade. And that's the end of him. To whore him. When he came back to the book, another chap was sent to us from the regiment. He was absolutely menace. He used to drink. I was drinking a hell of a lot these days. Bottle of whiskey today, no trouble. But this time, I was all right, happy. This man got very nuisance. After he had to say, we all had to get out of the bed because he killed us all sorts of things, very, very badly. And I complained about him, and he went, and we got this other step. And that's what. Well, then that new one came up. He said to me one day, what about doing the Chatham with the Australian division, I think it was, and they're down and up, and tell us Isaac Cuthing, tell L. Isaac Cuthing, which is it's east of railway cutting. When I say railway cutting, with the sight mound, dying to about 8,000 boats. And you can go and see how they do that patrolling. So I took a devil, obviously, to spend a week or so to the patrolling. When I got there, it was rail line and through the cutting, and the trenches are dug into the sides. I allocated one trench. And I meant, introduced myself to the Australian company commander, skipper, they called him. They're much about rank, and they call me Skip, and I didn't worry about it. But I didn't do anything because the movement was high, and you couldn't go out there with bright moonlight. So I didn't do anything for these 2 days either. And then, unfortunately, Rom decided to be his last push.
So you weren't able to go out with them?
No, they were those.
Did you talk about patrolling with them?
Yes, but...
Was their approach the same as yours, or did it differ in any...
I don't think it did, but... Yes, very carefully. I was very much a responsible man. I always, nearly always, everyone knew me. I was always by myself. I never went out fighting patrols or anything other. I liked being by myself. So they were talking more about fighting patrols.
What, they'd like to go looking for trouble?
Yes, or yes. I told not to get into trouble, and I did cover a lot of this, and I thought I had to run into trouble, avoid. Well, I watched, I stayed there, and then Robert Singh started, but I had an unfortunate position on not having any responsibilities. Mm. I just sat there as you do, and this test started. Oh God, after the bombardment, it went all right on. I couldn't do anything. I just got out of the bottom of the thing, take care.
Was it an accurate bombardment? Was it coming down on your position?
Oh, it would be. I went to sleep. I just did the whole bombardment. And the next morning I woke up, the attack has come from there, that is the cutting there. I was stepped in the door, and my tent was cut inside of the cutting, no doors to it, just a pole across it, with the blankets hanging down to the door. That's all been blown away. The levers just outside, two levers, there has been stress. But the main thing that I say, I didn't hear that, I stressed it all. I'm blissfully happy. Anyway, after about two or three days, I thought I was not to TV anything. I upstairs met about to join the town and rushed in. Waiting for the big push to come.
So they were still in preparation, holding the line, waiting for the offensive.
Yes, yeah. Before they didn't take an active part in the enemy battle. Mm. We were holding the left flank. Montgomery got a huge number of guns up behind to stop this bother. And it's also about 9 o'clock that night. And we sit there and Dick says, terrible noise. And went on all night.
Did the Germans make any attempt to probe or attack your positions?
No.
During the Rommel's last attack?
They didn't. Mm. Someone's idea, but to try and make them in front of the main attack, but put in by the 51st Highland Division, one of the main divisions. They want to, someone told them, make the Germans think that the Heidelberg is somewhere else. So we had one piper who was down at this side, is also Stetterbauer. He was put into a jeep or a truck and drove up and down a clear part of the Oman and bring a bypass where the fool is or whatever. But we had no part in the battle at all. Mm. When the military came, we just told 12 days later, we went to the caps and pulled it up behind. But we didn't. I was partly Yeah, past all. You're a gully. See, a lot of British troops dead.
Where was that? When you were going forward after
yes,
the battle?
After. From Arbizon. They must. I told them what they were doing. They must come against a German rear guard or something. I remember seeing them. Oh,
do you remember where that was particularly? Or
I think it. I think it's Facebook for Beer El Gubi. But I'm not absolutely sure.
Do you know, can you remember what regiments they were from or division?
That's
from?
I know they're the Highlands.
They were from the 51st Division.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, right around Beer El Gubi, you had a lot of dead Highlanders.
Yes. Well, I don't remember the battle there, because it wasn't part of the Alabama battle. It was part of it.
During the follow up, then, the pursuit. Mm-hmm. That was during the pursuit after
yes.
Alamein,
yes. Yes. Maybe they came across some airbags or something, but there were lots of them.
How were you moving forward then when you went forward? Were you in all in 3-ton trucks?
Yes.
Mm. When did those been issued to you? Because you said in East Africa you were on, you had pack transport really most of the time.
Oh yes, but then you got the enemy vessel, Murdaugh.
But I mean, you'd have them earlier, hadn't you? When you were when you attacked the Omars, you had. Everyone was mounted in vehicles.
Yes, yes. It did have the vehicles there.
So presumably it was between coming back from East Africa and going to the Western Desert you got your fleet of 3-tonners.
Yes, sir.
Did you have any difficulty getting your soldiers adapted to motorised warfare as opposed to warfare on foot?
Well, that's one to the other. What did this have to do? And remember, there's a joke to think about it, but fighting drivers.
Yes.
Because we only had a mule car.
Yes.
And the mule was there with a notoriously sick-headed people. As the story goes, a sepoy, you'll carry him, was having arrested the driver's truck. And there's quite a lot of them, a driver and two or three people on the truck in the back. And the driver, a new one, hit a shoulder, everyone's thrown out. And people rushed out to see how they were doing. And I was all right, I landed on my head. So it was a well-known joke there. But it gives you an idea how thick the mirrors are.
You moved forward from after Alamein. There's a sort of general advance, wasn't there? Everyone moving forward.
Yes.
Yes. Was that a smooth advance, or did you have
interruptions? Yes. I think others up the north have been pulling back pretty aggressive. Normal, pulled right down. That was Tripoli without much opposition. Mm. And he pulled himself out. Behind the Mazas line, which is between Tunis and Libya.
Yes.
Tripoli. Then. And we sort of skirted along till we got there. Then we hauled up for the Mazas battle.
How much did you know about the Mazas line itself and the troops holding it before you went into that?
Nothing. We were told happily. Fortified by the French, originally. It's their line, not. And the Germans decided to go over. I didn't have too much. We didn't just. My battalion, I think we got very involved there. We weren't meant to have, because I remember. The big back was coming off, and company commanders were told to go back and meet Montgomery.
Did you have a company by at that time?
Yes.
So you were back company commander?
Yes. I became a company commander once I got the title of Wehrwehrwerk. After Belgravia.
Yes.
Company then rather. Always a company.
Did you meet Montgomery?
Yes. When I was a foul day, it was raining and such, and I got that, got there, and there is a battle wagon in the sort of field, between just behind Maris, and I found about eight other officers. All coming down, all lined up. We waited there, the rain. Then he got out of the battle, came over, took hands with these of us, and then went back to that battle then.
He didn't say anything.
That's his getting to the Mary's bench. I was often present, you know. Not a sort at all. It's unusual, that drive. Well, the big battle was going to take place. Well, the Louisiana, 4th in the division, and the division was a very strong battle. It was the other long time, and they were doing things on the right, and we on the left, going to the mountains. Matt Carter.
So you didn't attack the line itself, you went round the southern flank of it?
Yes.
So you were going through Wilder's Gap, weren't you?
Pardon?
You went through something called Wilder's Gap in the McMartyr Hills.
It was a gap, I can't remember the name.
Yeah. So as I remember, at Marath, the 50th Division attacked the northern end to keep the attention of the enemy, whilst you were engaged in this wide-out flanking movement. What was it like going through the hills? Was it difficult going?
The circle roads, only one way. And we were going there the night again. We were famous for working at night before. And we trudged through there, and where could they stop? And I got a message came out to me to go and brought to the colonel. And so I went to him. He said, here's a head to the on the mares, the bigger there of 5 brigade, Papen, is the thing, and he's attacking along the road to the right of us. He wanted Thomas to go behind the enemy in front of us and cut the road. And I was told to do that.
Was this to be a company operation?
Yes.
It's just your company going.
He said, over there, it says on the map. It says, there must be one stagger. I said, what's that? We think both of the roads are heavily mined. You have to get there along. I said, oh, how the hell did it get there? You had door problems here. So I went and got with a white camel bar straight up, tied my belt to the back, got my hand to read again, and went through the minefield field area, and leave the tape behind my men falling along by my tape. Well, I went through this minefield, probably 100 yards, not much more. And so I didn't come across any. So I stood up and off the end, went on through the night. Just before dawn, I came to this crossroads and got men across it while to send the message back to those there. But I didn't have any message pulling out, not a single one, possibly. Not one.
For clearing mines, did you have any soldiers been trained, or such as assault pioneers or anything like that, who could lift clear and
yes,
lift mines?
Yes, they do. Very good there too, too. In the Staffers and Miners.
Yes.
Bombay Staffers, Madras Staffers, and Bengal Staffers. But they're all always with us. They're no one knows. They should have been down there in my Benghazi. I was told they should have been where they mind that exitus.
A lot of infantry regiment. Did you have any assault pioneers in the infantry, though, in your battalion?
No,
I think in British battalions, normally in the headquarters company, there would be a platoon of assault pioneers who could do mine clearing.
No, no, definitely not.
You didn't have those?
No. No, but none of us is visible in the reserve. We had these assassin of mine pretty close behind, but it was with a very good chap, very good indeed. But they weren't right themselves with.
They weren't with you?
No. It was gone anyway, that help. And did. Anyway, the Mazarin collapsed, and we all went sleeping through, and went on till he came to what was to become Wadi Akarit battle.
Now, Wadi Akarit, I remember it was on another nullah or wadi, but not so strongly fortified as Marath had been.
No, it wasn't. But just to the north of where Wadi Akarit was the Satnasa Mountains. And that over all the goes down. And the gunners roosted. And the main attack was going through the plains down the road. From there, from about a mile or so inland to the sea, that's the area. And we, the 4th Division, were on the left side. And decided we should take all the heights of the Satnasa Mountains.
Your job was to clear the high ground before they attacked the line.
Absolutely.
Were your Punjabis experienced in mountain warfare? Have done it before?
Well, by now, but not this sort. They were not this sponsor, no more expensive than anyone else.
How did these mountains differ from the Northwest Frontier Mountains?
Much higher. I never served on the Northwest Frontier. Being in the army and heard about it.
Yes.
And you never moved there without picking in the heights. And of course, you didn't have this sort of thing in the Arabs or Africa, because the heights went to dominoes. But that Margaret asked about the I had quite a lot to do with that.
Well, tell me about that then. What happened there at Wadi Akarit?
we fallen up somewhere. And I'm not sure I ever saw Wadi Akarit myself. And the air of Wadi Akarit. We stood in that area, waiting for something to happen. But it was usually Montgomery. They all shoot for the assault. We didn't know that about that. And the road went past us, going up the north. And this led to the Mass Mountains.